upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Let's go on an adventure. Let's go on it together. Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. And we are very happy to have you here for another great episode. Let's see. It's been a while since I've started one of these intros, so I'm no-ish.
But it's a little rusty.
I'm a little rusty. And as the kids would say, I'm also crusty dusty.
I've never heard a child say that.
It's because you're not as hip as me. anyways, so Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm good. Life's been good. We had a pirate party.
Okay. Can I start the story?
Sure.
Okay. So just to paint the picture, because I know we're in May now, but whatever. This took back in time, place and time.
You are having a hard time making words make sense.
So the reason why I'm having a tough time making words make sense is because of the night that you and I have had out there at a local establishment that will go named, which is the Outer River Pub. Yes. And let me tell you, now we're nearing, chronologically, when this is recorded, St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
And, of course, what do we do? And by we, I mean you, I, Seth Newton, which you guys know, and Amanda Mele, the most incredible singer. And then we had Jukebox Jake. Mm-hmm. We've had Amber
Chase
that shows up. We had Derek D Acoustic. It was just a wild. And so what we ended up going to was a karaoke night. So there was no business having like professional musicians. And I think that was, you know,
intimidating,
right?
Yeah.
And so that was the whole point. Like, how many professional musicians can we get to show up to like an amateur karaoke night? And we did. And we rocked it. Like, it was like being part of a movie.
But not only did we rock it, we rocked it like pirates. Like, so if you go back to Amanda Melly's episode, it's my birthday episode, there is a big group chat now with everybody that came into the studio that day. So me, Chris, Amanda, Seth, Jake, and it just randomly started off where Amanda was like, when are we all going to get together again? I'm free Friday. And we were kind of like, yeah, we're all free. And, you know, again, go back to Seth Newton's episode where he kind of looks like Jack Sparrow and, he was like, I'm a shameless individual. And I said, yeah, like a true Jack Sparrow. And from there, it kind of evolved to, we should do this pirate themed. So Amanda and Seth are actually wearing pirate hats out at the bar. And the rest of us have bandanas, even though Chris is looking more like Tupac.
I wouldn't say Tupac is the right answer.
No.
It was like Michael Myers and Austin Powers as Dr. Evil and Mini-Me there and singing out the Hard Knocks of Life. Yeah.
He's got the knot. In the front.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because that's what I'm looking at right now. The crew, she posted a group picture of us, and it's just like, we're just a ragtag group of misfits.
We're the jolliest bunch of scallywags side of the nut house.
And I like the fact that, you know, we closed out that karaoke show to... You know, Dropkick Murphys were shipping up to Boston. And before, you know, as the song started to play, I was like, are you ready, kids?
And the whole bar just goes, aye, aye, Captain.
And I was like, I can't hear you.
And the whole bar got louder.
Yeah, they're like, aye, aye. Oh, like it was just.
Yeah, it was a very memorable evening for sure. There was a lot of fuckery and shenanigans that were had.
Shenanigans. Yeah, and so, you know, I think the part that I liked the most about the whole thing was that, like, it was St. Patty's weekend, and, like, you'd expect to see a bunch of leprechauns, but never pirates. No one ever expects the pirate. And so that's what we did. People were like, why are y'all dressed up like pirates? I'm like, we don't need a reason. We just...
Because we can. That's no, why.
We just are.
Oh God.
Yeah. That was. Yeah. Anyways. But yeah. So that was fun. But getting back to why we're all here. We have just an absolute incredible guest. She is a musical performer here in Central Massachusetts. Just absolutely incredible folk artist. She has charted the charts in the folk chart world, and very, very well known, I would say, in this area. I am just a huge fan of her songwriting and her music in general. I'm excited. I'm thankful for you, Nikki, for grabbing this one.
Of course, yeah. And I also think this is a genre that we really haven't explored much on our podcast yet, too. So, yeah. I mean, when we had Chris Gaudreau, he's kind of more in the folky genre. But other than that, we really haven't had too many artists like that. So it was nice to kind of switch that up.
Yeah, and I got to say, folk art music or folk music is, you know, has a soft spot in my heart. I like it because it speaks to you. It's often directly relatable with the lyrics and just the delivery.
The storytelling behind it.
Right, yeah. So when you're in a place of just deep emotion, folk music is the go-to for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I can't wait. But let's go ahead and get into it.
Today we're joined by Aaron Ash Sullivan, a talented singer-songwriter from Harvard, Mass., whose music beautifully captures a deep sense of place. With lyrics that are sometimes heartfelt, sometimes humorous, and always authentic, Aaron's songs are drawn from her own lived experiences. In 2024, her release, Signposts and Marks, made a splash, debuting at number 4 on the Folk DJ chart. Americana UK calls her a songwriter of the highest order. Aaron's accolades include being a 2023 Most Wanted Artist at the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival, winning the Rose Garden Coffee House Performing Songwriter Competition, and earning the Mark Arelli Judge's Choice Award at the New England Songwriting Competition. Her music channels the spirit of her idols, Joni Mitchell, Patti Griffin, and Ellis Paul, and celebrates the power of storytelling to create connection. Aaron's live shows are intimate, full of warmth, humor, and tales that remind us of the ties that bind us all together. Welcome to the studio, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
Woo! Yeah, thank you, Aaron, for coming down here and sharing a space with us.
It's a beautiful day to be here.
Yes, I know. And what better weather?
I know.
It's like spring has sprung.
Finally.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were talking a little bit briefly and prior to us filming. And I learned pretty quickly that you have had a full life at such a early part of your stage of your life here. You got to do some exploring around this little rock of ours, huh?
I sure did. When I was little, my parents swept us off to Scotland, where we lived for 2 years.
Wow.
And part of that adventure involved doing a lot of traveling back and forth in our 1972 VW camper van. And
great
so,
van.
Great van.
Yes.
yes, that is my dream, is to one day be able to own one of those again.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of trips cross country back and forth every summer. And then once we were living overseas, every summer driving through various parts of Europe.
Oh, wow.
Spending a lot of time camping, a lot of time looking out the window and watching the stuff go by.
That's amazing. You know, and when you get the kind of perspective, such a young age, it kind of opens up, it opens up your whole world, that knowing how big the world actually is.
Yeah, and it just gives you a spirit of adventure. You know, I think there's still something about getting in a car and going on a big road trip for me that I just love.
Yes, I know, and we live in a country that's kind of big, so there's plenty of roads to travel down.
That's for sure. Yeah, I've been traveling a fair bit for music lately, and I love just getting on the road, and it always feels like an adventure, even if you're just driving to New Jersey.
Yeah, right, exactly. So with all of that, at what point did music become a passion? Was it something that started off very, very young, or did that come in later?
Music's always been a huge part of my life. My grandmother was also a singer. And so I grew up with music kind of just infused through everything that we did. And we'd go over to her house and she'd be teaching her piano students or her voice students. And she was my first music teacher.
Aww.
So that's always kind of been part of how I think about myself.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know there's so many stories that we've had here where family has been the biggest influence with music.
Yeah, well, I think it's like anything. You grow up around artists or creatives, and you just assume that that's what people do.
Yeah.
And so I grew up in a household where it was expected that you would, of course, you'd have creative ideas and act on them, and they didn't always have to be good, but of course you were going to think of stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's awesome. And then, what was did you start off playing the guitar or?
No, I did not. No, I was, I played piano as a kid, and was like a total unabashed musical theater kid. And
oh, nice.
Don't you dare ask me anything about Annie or Cats, cause it will all happen and you'll be really sorry. But that was sort of the starting point. And then it wasn't until after college that I picked up a guitar and started to write some music, and it coincided with a really close friend of mine from college. We were both living in New York City for completely different reasons, and we ran into each other, and she said, "I have to tell you something. I think I just wrote a song."
Oh,
I said, "Oh, nice. I think I just wrote a song." And so we were sort of kind of going through that process together, and we ended up forming a duo and writing more songs together and performing them. And that was kind of my way into the whole singer-songwriter situation.
Oh, how awesome. Awesome. So then you really got a taste of that New York music scene out there.
Yeah.
It must be a bit different than around here, huh?
Well, yes. And it was also a number of years ago, but it was a really exciting time to be in the city. And when you're like a young 20-something and writing music, and I was, you know, working as a classroom teacher, a third grade teacher during the day, and then at night I'd take the subway downtown and we'd rehearse in these like just horrifying rehearsal rooms.
Yes.
And there were a lot of sticky bar gigs like you would, you know, as you walk, you feel the squelch of the
shoes.
But you learn a lot. And we made ourselves like play in the subway a couple times because
that's cool.
Felt like, you know, there's nothing to help you grow a thicker skin faster than playing in front of thousands of people who just do not care that you're there.
Right.
And, you know, you just have to, but all of those experiences make you better as a performer.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And I bet you there was at least one person listening in that subway.
You never know. No, there would always be like somebody who'd be sitting kind of at the back of the station, their arms crossed and just kind of watching. And, you know, they'd come up later and throw a five in your bag. And that always felt good to feel like not terrible. Like that one person thought it was okay.
I mean, that's a huge success in a New York subway. Let me tell you.
I know. I still feel like maybe I need to go back to try that in Boston just to kind of see how that would play out.
I think it'd be totally different. Like like New York, they're so unfazed. Like they have so many, but Boston's like, and everybody's so loving in the most aggressive kind of way.
Like, you're wicked awesome.
You're wicked awesome. Now get out of here. You know. But yeah, no, it's cool. I think that would be a really fun. You know, if you do plan that, let us know. We'll bring some cameras.
We'll do a little stealth shoot.
Yeah.
I love it. Great, right? I love those videos where like you'll have like Yo-Yo Ma like in disguise playing on the street, and all these people walk by not realizing that they're watching one of the world's greatest musicians performing.
I love that.
Yeah. Not that I'm likening myself to Yo-Yo Ma, but there's precedent.
That's actually something that came to mind when you were just saying playing in the subways of New York, because I think it was like a violinist who was playing, you know, at a big concert hall that night, decided just to go stand and do that. And yet nobody gave them the time of day. But then like here you are selling out a huge concert hall, like, and all these people, like, they have, it's all about perspective and where, you know, the environment.
I think about that a lot, that, you know, you just never know when you're going to find a great musician. And that's, we can talk about this more later, but that's what I love about kind of this Central Mass music scene. I have been just so beautifully surprised by so many musicians that I've run into at open mics or at other kinds of shows. And it's always so inspiring. You never know what's going to come up.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, I was at the Hardwick Rocks Festival this past summer. And, you know, I was doing photographies, but I was surrounded by like 20 to 30 musicians. And I was like, I know all these people. Mm-hmm. How do I know all these people? But it was really surreal. Just
better yet, know? It's they're all our friends.
They're
That's
all,
the
oh,
thing,
yeah.
It's like surrounded by all these incredibly talented people. Like, I have a lot of incredibly talented friends. Like, that's what basically what it comes down to. It's awesome.
But that's what makes our scene so beautiful, is that, you know, we have all these super talented musicians, and they're so humble, they're so supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's such a great sense of community, because you know, music's so important, you know, especially in development years and all that. It's, you know, it's so important to us to have access to the music, and to have such a talent pool out here in Central Mass. We're kind of spoiled.
We are.
Yeah.
But, it's awesome.
And I'm just so glad that you're a part of that.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. Let's get into a song. I want to kind of show off your musical abilities here.
Let's do it. So just kind of for context, we were talking about all those trips cross country in the VW van. I do have this kind of really vivid sense memory of driving places at night. And, you know, you look out the window and you just see the telephone poles going by in rhythm.
Yeah.
And, so that was actually the rhythm I had in my head when I was starting this song.
Okay.
Miles on Highway 10. Time to stop for gas again. Now he's one more tank away. Would it have changed a thing if he'd have told you stay? Crack the door and taste the night. And the feel of freedom by fluorescent light. And the road sighs out the day's last heat. To the sound of a bird singing low and sweet. She'll serenade you as you're leaving town. Hear the notes rise up as the sun goes down, down, down. Sometimes leaving doesn't need a word. Listen to the song of the rest stop bird. 10 more miles on Highway 5. You need the rhythm of the road to feel alive. You left behind a heart of stone, hidden in a nest of sticks and bones. Promised you that the walls would hold, but there was nothing soft to keep out the cold. So you were both to blame when your love got beat. All those eggshells lie beneath your feet. She'll serenade you as you're leaving town. Hear the notes rise up as the sun goes down, down, down. Sometimes leaving doesn't need a word. Listen to the song of the rest stop bird. Little bird don't care that he don't care that you flew off without warning. Little bird don't care that he don't care that you'll be gone come morning. Little bird makes leaving look so easy, just a breath of wings, easier than a lot of things. She'll serenade you as you're leaving town. Hear the notes rise up as the sun goes down, down, down. Sometimes leaving doesn't need a word. Listen to the song of the rest stop bird. Listen to the song of the rest stop bird. I ain't nothing but a rest stop bird.
Wow.
Thanks.
Now I want to be a rest stop bird.
There you go. That song, actually, the title came from, I had a friend of mine doing a cross-country trip, and she posted a picture of a bird on Facebook and with the caption, rest stop bird. And I immediately responded, dibs, because I was like, that's a song title.
And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
In 2025, be on the lookout for Derek D. Acoustic's upcoming album, Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival. Throughout the year, Derek will be releasing several singles, leading up to the full album release, which will include a few extra tunes just for you. Ashes to Acoustics features live acoustic covers performed at open mics at the Otter River Pub, recorded by Soundbites, Events, and Open Mics. You'll find them on all streaming platforms, so make sure you follow Derek at Derek D. Acoustic to stay updated on these releases. Enjoy Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival in 2025 and beyond.
And now back to our show. When you begin a songwriting adventure, how does that start? Do you start with the music and then interject the lyrics, or do you build the lyrics first and then build a song around it?
I'm an idea person, so really what I'm starting with is a concept or a vibe.
Oh, I love that.
Mostly a concept. So there's a story that I want to tell usually, and so that is my starting point. And then usually the lyrics and the melody come together at the same time. And a lot of it for me happens when I'm walking, that I need to be not necessarily sitting with a guitar, but I need to kind of get myself away from what the limitations here are for me, because I'm a good, not great guitar player.
Yeah.
And that way I can kind of let my mind go and sort of let the melody come to me. And I usually get most of the song written before I even sit down with a guitar.
Wow.
And figure out the chords that go with it.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, it definitely shows. I'm like every song that I've heard, it's just so, it brings you on that journey, a very specific journey, and it's easy to get lost.
Well, it's, and those are the songs that I love to listen to, right? You know, yeah. Like Patty Griffin for me is sort of the classic version of that, where she, or Laurie McKenna, where like she can tell you a story in a song and you get 2/3 of the way through the song and she just twists the knife and you're like, like what?
Yes.
That happened. So that's always kind of what I'm shooting for.
That's cool.
So I want to twist the knife in your heart.
That's right.
Nothing
that's
personal. Right.
Just make sure that you're still feeling it. Come
there
on.
You go.
Come on. We're doing a pulse check. Nikki, you got any questions?
Yeah. So you said you started playing guitar later on. What was the first song that you learned to play?
I'm a terrible cover song learner.
Okay.
So the first song I learned to play was a song that I'd written.
That's actually, I don't think we've heard that.
Yeah, no, we haven't. That's not it. That's
yeah, right. It's sort of shameful, actually, that like I'll do a show and someone will say, let's end with a cover that we all know. And I can sing you a million covers. And it's not like a lot of them are hard to learn. I don't take the time to learn covers. I should do that every year. I tell myself that.
It, you know what? It's I'm glad I met somebody else that's the same way. I started off playing the piano, just making up my own stuff, like kind of discovering what kind of sounds you can get out of a piano. And it wasn't until later on that I started like, okay, you know what? I'm going to force myself to learn some covers. And but it's for me, it's more challenging to, you know, find those keys in somebody else's song rather than just kind of making up your own thing, you know?
Yeah, although it's a super good exercise, and I do really need to do a better job of that, because when you can look at the way a different songwriter structures a song and how they put it together and kind of give you the big feels, you can kind of reverse engineer it and then not copy, but be inspired.
And that's what it's about with music, is inspiring others, for sure. Yeah. So, speaking of which, we have a question. Is there somebody or someone or something that inspired you to pursue music besides, was it your grandmother?
It was my grandmother. So certainly my grandmother, because she, you know, before I even knew her, she had moved to New York City when she was a young woman, and she sang in USO clubs during the war and auditioned for Broadway musicals, was actually cast in the original Broadway production of Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Which is cool. And she left before the show opened to marry my grandfather.
Oh.
But she had this whole career even before she was a parent. And so, you know, by the time I knew her, she was just my grandmother. And I never thought to ask her all those questions, right? We all have that experience. We're like, oh, my grandparent was actually like a person with a life.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she was a huge inspiration for me.
Yeah.
And I've been really fortunate coming back into the songwriting world after not having done things for a while, to have a lot of mentors who've really been super supportive and have inspired me. So I mentioned to you earlier, I've been working with Vance Gilbert, who's just such an amazing performer and songwriter. I've been doing some work with Ellis Paul. He runs a songwriting retreat every summer that I've been going to. And that community of songwriters has been really supportive as well and inspiring.
Aren't those retreats awesome?
Yeah, it's amazing because you're with a bunch of people who are all trying to do the same thing. And again, you know, are rooting for you. It's not competitive, but then you get to see all the different ways that people solve the problem of writing a good song. And you can do it a gazillion different ways. And sometimes you'll hear something where you're like, ah, I want to try that.
Yes. Yeah. We had our buddy, Ian Galpo. He went out to one, and he came back with a song that he performed here, where he sang about a tree in the middle of a asphalt parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt an emotional connection to that tree.
Right? Yeah.
That's like magic.
The other thing that I've done that's been great, just from the songwriting standpoint, is I do this challenge every February called February Album Writing Month. Have you heard about this thing?
No.
So it's this online challenge, and the goal is to write 14 songs in 28 days.
Okay,
which is just as bonkers as it sounds.
Yeah,
and you thousands of people do it every year in Canada, and the UK, and Australia, and the US. And everybody is posting their songs and listening to each other and cheering each other on. But the whole point is the turnaround time is so fast that you don't have a chance to second guess yourself. And so you just have to like get the ideas out there, like finish the song and move on to the next one and not overthink it. And some people are doing like the full on productions while other people are singing into their iPhones and people at all these different levels of ability, and everyone's just going for it. And so that for me has been a huge inspiration, and actually a huge majority of the songs I write, I do in February, just because like for me, the writing under a deadline is really helpful.
You know what they say, diamonds are made under pressure.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, not everyone is a diamond. There are some really
some rough diamonds.
Beautifully bad songs that come out of February too.
And you know what? Yeah. It's, you know what you said too, it's, you can't really second guess yourself because you are under that deadline. Like we had another musician on that was saying that they would have these like exercises, like a professor or whatever would say, okay, pen to the paper, you're not allowed to lift that pen, you have 30 seconds to write whatever comes to your brain. And it was again one of those things like, I don't have time to think about this, I'm just literally wording like any words that come to my brain, and I can't lift my pen for 30 seconds. And yeah, this, you don't have time to
But sometimes when you do that, that's like when your brain does its best work,
right?
It really, it's, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, I had a professor in my college who really reshaped the way that I thought drawing worked. You know, he gave us one exercise, and you know, we has a couple rules. You know, our pencil couldn't leave the paper, and we were on a time clock. And so I, you know, was then kind of put in a position to capture whatever was in front of me. A lot of times it was just people. I can't, like I say, I tell people, I cannot draw people. And here I am, 30 seconds. All right, just scribble. And after 30 seconds, I've like perfectly captured the essence of this person in this pose on this piece of paper. And I'm just like, what happened? Where was, was I present during this last 30 seconds?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing how that process can achieve that, you know?
Yeah, it is. It does feel like magic for sure.
It really does. So now I know you've had a lot of influences, but do you have any outside musical influences that have kind of helped steer your music? Like any musicians that you listen to?
Yeah, so a couple of, I've already mentioned Laurie McKenna. I just can't get enough of her stuff. She also does this thing that I just feel like is impossible, which is, she doesn't use fancy language.
Okay.
She doesn't really use fancy chords, but it's just so beautifully structured and so thoughtful. And so she can, in 3 minutes, tell you a whole story from start to finish, your heart. And also it's a beautiful song, but she's stripped away all of the extra goo.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I feel like that's one thing that I've really struggled with in my own songwriting, as I kind of listen back to the stuff that I wrote a few years back, and there's too much in there. And learning how to get rid of the extra stuff to let the good stuff shine through is really challenging.
It is. I know I had another art professor that always drilled into me to kiss. And I'm like, kiss? He's like, yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, there's a lot of beauty when you...
Or like less is more.
Less is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, speaking of less and more... your adventure with music has been both less and more. You had, you know, for a while there, you were out there in New York, playing and doing your thing. But then you also, had your personal life. You had a job, you had children and a family. And so it looks like that your music career has been kind of here and then there.
Yes.
So what was that like to step away for a little while and then to come right back into it?
There are many, many years where there was just no music happening, because between job and family, and also weirdly, you know, when my kids were little, I'd pick up the guitar and I'd get, no!
Oh, really?
So there was literally zero positive reinforcement for doing music.
Oh, no.
Which is ironic, because both of my kids are like now very skilled musicians, and my daughter's a singer-songwriter and my son is a piano player.
That's awesome.
I needed, I think it, for my own sanity, to get my kids to the point where I could think in complete sentences again,
yeah.
and they didn't need me quite as much because, and I just needed to be ready. So, the first song I wrote after not having written for years was a song on the ukulele because it was easy and like instant gratification. And that at that point, then kind of the floodgates opened and I started writing again and it felt great.
Did you feel that it was like riding a bicycle? Like you just hop right back on?
Yes. And I was also interested to observe how the stuff I wanted to write about had changed. That, you know, when you're 20 something, like there's a lot of lost love, my heart is broken, blah, blah, blah. And those, like, those songs are great. And also, I'm just in a different phase of my life, and I'm interested in telling different kinds of stories.
So between then and now, have you seen any other like changes? Do you feel like your music has improved since then, or is it, or maybe the songwriting has really changed and improved at all? Or
I would like to say yes. My songs have gotten so much better. I don't know. I also listen to like the first album that I did a really long time ago with my friend Amy, and it's pretty good. It's pretty decent.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's fun to listen. But I think there's one song from that era that I ever play in public anymore because those songs just don't feel like me anymore.
Right. I know it's, and that's the beautiful part about music is that it evolves and it changes and speaks to that moment in our lives. And you know, I think it's the really cool part too is when you do write a song that speaks to that moment in your life from such a personal point, and then you play it out there in the public, and then you have somebody come up and like, I absolutely feel that song. Like,
that's really rewarding, and you never know what kind of song that's going to be. Because sometimes I'll just like throw one out there, and then when somebody says that is the one that they remember, it's nice, it's surprising.
Right, and that just, I think that just helps show the connections that that we have as a people. You know, we think that you know, we're all so unique that we don't have anything, any qualities that we can share, but we really do. I mean, as individual as we are, as a species, we have a lot of similar experiences. So speaking of similar experiences, let's go into another song.
So I wasn't going to play the song, but now I'm going to, because we were talking about sort of writing under pressure. And so this was a February song. I was doing a one-hour challenge. They do those occasionally just to be super sadistic. And they're like, so this prompt, they said, okay, write a song in an hour that has the words muddy, golden, and the number 41.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay.
Footprints stretch on up ahead. I can see him in the late day golden light. If we're lucky, he'll come back with both boots still upon his feet. Someone's gonna need a bath tonight. Come winter, they draw the water down and mud behind. Bear Hill Pond becomes just ground and sky. Come winter, we come down and walk for hours, but I don't mind, 'cause I know it will be over by and by. And we walk the flats, we chase the day, tell ourselves the shore is not so far away. Our footsteps tell the tale of where we've been, till the water rushes in. Pulls his mittens off, to gather treasure in his hands, to find the perfect stick to write his name. Rusted, grounded rowboat sweeps him off to foreign lands. Tiny tyrant stakes his claim, and we walk the flats, we chase the day, we tell ourselves the shore is not so far away. Footsteps tell the tale of where we've been, till the water rushes in. And he stops beside the boulder where his fingers trace the water line, and asks, when will the water start to flow? And he's off again before I can collect myself and answer him, my darling, so much sooner than you know. And we walk the flats, we chase the day. I tell myself that time is still so far away. Our footsteps tell the tale of where we've been, till the water rushes in. Footsteps tell the tale of where we've been, till the water rushes in. Till the water rushes in.
So you said, speaking of COVID, and oh, what a time to be alive. that's when you really started to get back into doing music. Can we have another song?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So I think I mentioned to you, I grew up in Harvard and then left. Moved back when I was an adult, mm-hmm. and that's weird.
Oh, yeah.
When you run into people from your past.
Yeah.
Cool Teresa, you are nothing but cool Teresa. With your flawless hair and authentic concert tees, was making good grades. You were making your way, Teresa. The way you totaled out that till like you could do just what you pleased. Then you said, let's be friends just for summer or something. I guess it should be better than nothing. Slim pickings in this godforsaken town. Shy, Teresa, but you could make a shift fly, Teresa. We took turns changing for the beach behind the break room door. Let it fly on 95. First friend who could drive. Salt in our hair as we came back from the shore. You'd said, let's be friends just for summer or something. I guess it should be better than nothing. Slim pickings in this godforsaken town. And I remember how you ducked behind the counter and wait there till your actual friends walked away. You brushed it off and brushed your hair. Said I just couldn't be that girl today. You landed on your feet, Teresa. Bought a big house down the street, Teresa. I see your face on the real estate site in my neighbor's yard. Sometimes I see you at the store, a friendly nod and nothing more, Teresa. So when you said hello today, it caught me a little off guard, 'cause you'd said, let's be friends just for summer or something. I guess it should be better than nothing. Slim pickings in this godforsaken town. Teresa. Teresa.
Does Teresa know that she has a song written about her?
I don't know if she knows or not.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, friendships are so special, even if it's just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they impact us our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote a song about that.
I did.
Yeah,
that's a mixed bag. Like when you're in middle school and high school, and you've got the friend who's sort of the friend, but is she really your friend?
Yeah. Right.
Is she your friend because it's convenient for her?
Yeah.
So that's kind of some of the stuff I was trying to get at. But it still doesn't make it any less special of a friendship. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not always an unconditional situation.
Sure. Yeah. It's plenty of those relationships I've had in the past. but no, I totally get it. Do you have any like goals or dreams now planned for the future?
Mm. So I feel like the past 18 months has really been all about getting this album out into the world and the music piece and the production piece, in addition to just figure out how to market it and do all the PR and everything. And then I've spent the past 6 months just enjoying the fact that the album is out.
Yes.
And now I'm starting to have that feeling again, like, oh, I got a time to write more songs, time to start thinking about the next album.
Yeah.
How do I want it to sound? What's the vibe going to be? So I have a lot of things swirling right now, and I'm feeling ready to jump in again.
Okay.
Which I'm super excited about. So it's a little intimidating because, you know, you finish a huge project, you pour your heart and soul into it, and then starting up again, you know.
Right.
It's an interesting question.
And I mean, I'm going to throw a little influence on that one, but, you know, I think like a fully produced video to one of your songs is something that's, I feel like your music would create an amazing music video.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music video piece I would love to do more of, because I do feel like just the way our universe works these days, that's how people take in media.
Yeah.
And they want the visuals. So, I actually, for one of my songs, Lisa Bastoni, who I'm going to be doing this show with, in April, she is also a visual artist, and she created these beautiful watercolors, which she cut together to accompany the song. And it's one of my favorite things. I've been thinking a lot about how to do video in ways that are interesting.
Yeah. I really like, I can just close my eyes and like, yep, there's a video worthy of this song.
I think a lot of that too has to do with like your writing just paints such a beautiful like picture in my mind. Like as you're singing, I can just visualize like everything that you're
exactly.
So then to actually have a video of that, you know, what's in the mind's eye. That would be awesome.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Well, that's kind of what I'm trying to do is I just want to like do the little snow globe situation.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
I can't take credit for that. That's something Ellis Paul says all the time.
Oh.
He's like, you gotta make the snow globe.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have like a memorable performance or gig or anything?
Do you want the good one or the bad one?
All
right. How about I make this a two-part question? We also have another one, like, what's one of the craziest encounters you've ever had at a gig? And then, like, what's one of the most memorable things? So, yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so my sort of Aaron Ash Sullivan V1, I was in this duo with my friend Amy Spies, who is a solo artist now, and she's just amazing. But we were young and in our 20s, we met a guy who was going to be offered to be our manager. So that was super exciting. And he was going to get us lots of great shows. And we got the news that we were going to be opening for the Beach Boys.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah. No way. Super exciting. Down in Baltimore. And I have family that happens to be in Baltimore. So we told all our relatives, everybody bought all the tickets. So we practiced and rehearsed. It was so exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
And we get in the car. It's like super hot August day. We drive all the way down to Baltimore. We show up at the venue. It's a big outdoor venue.
Yeah.
We get, like, go to the performer's entrance, and the bouncer guy at the entrance looks at his list. He says, "You're not opening for the Beach Boys."
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's like, what?
Oh, no.
And we see our manager in the background, and we're like shouting for this guy to come over.
Yeah.
So come to find out that he was a driver for the Beach Boys. And he wanted to do us a solid, so he figured, like, I'll just get the girls down here, and, like, they've got this big outdoor show, and they'll let them come on and do a 20-minute set, no problem. I don't know what he was thinking, and lesson learned, don't do anything without piece of paper that's been signed.
But, with, like,
right? But we were really young. We didn't know anything, so, like, all my family is there, and you know who opened for the Beach Boys that day? A marionette show.
Oh, my gosh.
No. So, like, every layer of it just was, like, so surreal and so sad. And, again, it's either a great experience or a great story to tell. And in that case, it was a great story.
Oh, that's great.
I don't think I would have ever... I was not expecting you to say marionette.
Nobody does. No.
I got upstaged by marionette.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Spinal Tap, but there's, like, that great sign where, like, they're sort of on the downhill slide, and it's Puppet Show and Spinal Tap, and that's always what I think of when I remember my marionette tales.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's wild. So now does that one qualify as the memorable or the craziest?
Well, we can put it in whatever bucket you want to put it. It's both memorable and crazy.
It is,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know, this is another great story, but also, like, in Aaron Ash Sullivan V1, all my misadventures happened in my youth. My friend Amy and I, so we recorded our first album, and it was getting some good press, and we were getting some attention, and we had a big record release party scheduled at the Bitter End in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal. Everybody was coming. There's some, like, this was back in the day when, like, record labels actually would pay attention to young artists, so we had record labels coming.
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, I was pregnant and my daughter was born. And so that summer was like new album, new baby, a lot swirling. And, and having a new baby was something of a challenge. And there is one day where the baby had been particularly challenging, and it was a long day. Got the baby down, like, relaxing on the couch. Phone rings, pick up. It's Amy. She says, "Aaron, where are you?" And I say, "I'm at home. I just put the baby down. What's up?" She's like, "I'm at the Bitter End getting ready to start for our record release show." I had completely forgotten to go.
Oh, no.
Yes.
To your own show.
So, like, we joke that this is Amy's, like, solo artist origin story, because I was in Queens and she was downtown and she had to go on solo and did a fabulous solo show. But I missed my own record release show because I had new baby brain.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do? You can't be like, "All right, kid, you're going to stay here for..."
Well, no, I mean, let you know. And there's, like, I wouldn't have made it in time and, like, everything. So anyway.
Wow.
Yep.
But, you know, everything happens for a reason.
That's right.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow. That's crazy. Jeez. You know, you've had such an incredible amount of achievements already. Is there one achievement that has stuck out for you?
That stuck out for me? I would say that the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival experience was really a game changer for me. It gave me the opportunity to share my music with a lot of people who like the kind of music that I write.
Yeah.
And that has opened a lot of doors for me. John Platt, who's a DJ with WFUV in New York, became a champion of mine, and I've just been so grateful for his support, and was able to share the stage with a lot of musicians who I really admire and who've since become good friends, and we have since booked shows together. I feel like that experience absolutely put me on a new path that I've been super grateful for.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's amazing what kind of journey music will put you down, you know?
Yeah. And I also, I don't mean to jump your gun, but I saw that one of the questions that you often will ask people is, what advice do you have for musicians?
I was literally going to get
segue,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So my big piece of advice, it's two. One is go to all the open mics.
Yes.
Because those are going to be your friends.
Yeah.
Because those are all the people who want to do the thing you want to do. And it's just such a great way to build your network. That's the first thing. And the second thing is enter all the contests.
Oh, yeah.
Not all of them. Some of them are yucky. But I will say that as somebody who is trying to make people pay attention to my songs, when you enter a contest, someone has to listen to your song.
Yes, they do.
And 95% of the time, you don't win. But sometimes somebody will hear your song and it will lead to something else. So I just feel like you just need to keep saying yes to stuff.
And I love the fact and the idea that we have songwriter contests out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been fortunate, Nikki and I have been so fortunate to have judged, what, 2 or 3 of them now?
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's like you were saying, too. It's like, yeah, I can go see somebody perform and, like, you know, it's one thing to be like, okay, yeah, the song sounds great. But at a songwriter contest, especially if you're judging it, you have no choice but to pay attention to those words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, that's, yeah.
But not only that, but then you also get this comparison of how different musicians craft their way through songwriting.
Yeah,
and it really emphasizes the importance to music. For me, as my appreciation for music matured, I went from, you know, enjoying the melody and the beats to really connecting with the lyrics, you know, and then once those two worlds marry, you get a real appreciation for that song.
Yep,
you know, and I don't know. From my perspective, I don't see songwriting that as being easy.
No,
it's intimidating, I think, a little bit.
I mean, remember when we had Tasteless Jack on?
Oh, yeah.
He's so prolific.
But he did a challenge where he had to write a song a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it doesn't seem like it's an easy thing, let alone, like, I have to write one every single day.
I know. Some people have told us, like, they don't know where the words come from. They're just given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas others really, like, all right, we're going to take this one word and we're going to just write a whole song about it. You know?
Yeah. So. Well, that was Ryan Culkins. You know, he had a book and it was just a prompt in there. It said, take the first random object in front of you and write a song about it. And he had a tape measure.
Yeah.
And he wrote a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, going off of this tape measure, like, take the tape measure and building a house, and it just led to, like, building a family, and just the way it progressed was so great. But, you know, then you also get people that are like, yeah, I have things that are half written. I started years ago and I just kind of lost the inspiration. And then when someday, you know, something happens and they pick it up again and they're finally have that creative spark to put it to bed, you know?
Is there an aspect of writing that you enjoy the most?
For me, it feels like a Sudoku puzzle. That if I can get sort of, if I can figure out what the story I want to tell is, the words come pretty easily.
Yeah.
But then you get to that point of shaping it And yep. really, I'm a big fan of like a well-structured song. And so going through and editing out the words and then figuring out like, where's my rhyme going to hit and what's the exact right phrase. And, you know, I've got some websites like Rhyme Zone. I love the Rhyme Zone because at least it gives you a starting place. And sometimes it'll offer you a phrase or a word and you're like, oh, and that takes that one word will take you down a completely different tangent that kind of adds to the song. So I find that very satisfying.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
What's that called?
Rhyme Zone.
All right.
Yeah. So you just, it's magical.
Huh.
Such a good crutch.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time to do a lot of rhyme.
See what you did there.
Gee, he was a poet. He didn't even know it.
That's right. That's right on the spot. No pressure. You know, we've gone around, you know, your most memorable achievement, but how about your favorite experience so far?
As a musician?
Yeah.
My record release show from this July was sort of magical. Played at Club Passim in Cambridge.
Oh, wow.
And I actually shared the night with this group called the Lied Twos. Doug Kortler and Susan Levine. They're amazing musicians. And Doug is actually the producer for my past two albums. So,
oh, nice.
He's wonderful. So they did a set and then I did a set, but then we also had a full band. And for somebody like me who does 99% of my shows just with me and my guitar, to have like the drums and the stand-up bass and pedal steel and the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And a full house. So it was, that's in my top 10 moments of all time for sure.
I love that too. Nice, nice. You know, speaking of the production of songs, that whole process is a process. Like, you know, it seems like a lot of other musicians that are out there, they kind of form that bond with that one special producer that just gets their vision. And how has that process been like? Working, finding that person, and then Doug, and then working with them. Like, is it stressful? Is it fun putting that all together?
It's super fun. I met Doug accidentally at a show where he was doing sound, and I don't know what possessed me to say, "Do you produce albums too?" And
he
said, "Yeah." And so we did a couple tracks just to kind of see how it went, and one thing led to another, and now we're two albums in. I love working with Doug because he's got a great aesthetic. He's a really talented multi-instrumentalist, so he can lay down whatever track you're hearing in your head, which is kind of magical.
Wow.
And he also is not afraid to play around with some sonic stuff. So there are a few things. Ghost of a Thorn on my album has got some just like crazy strings on there that I just love. And I was able to sort of try to convey a vibe to Doug for how I wanted the song to feel, and he just kind of captured it. So I've been really, really fortunate to be able to work with him.
I call those people audio wizards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah.
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 And I mean, it definitely helps too, being a multi-instrumentalist, you know, because then you don't have to bring in so many different like house people. You can do your own stuff, you know, right then and there. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really exciting.
Cool. Well, would you like to get into another song?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here we go. I think I'm going to play Ghost of a Thorn, which I was just talking about.
Oh, perfect.
Got a ghost of a thorn in the palm of your hand. Touch the part that's tender, can't help but remember how he looked when you told him that it wasn't working out like you'd planned. But your love felt worn like the ghost of a thorn. You can lock away all the little things, freeze out every memory, look away and let them be. Every little tragedy, every little tragedy. There's a hint of a tear in the map that you fold. Reminds you that you're lost, and of all the lines you've crossed. And how it felt when he told you that he never thought you'd act so cold. Like you just didn't care, like the hint of a tear. You can lock away all the little things, freeze out every memory, look away and let them be. Every little tragedy, every little tragedy. Little hills can sometimes grow into mountains that you'd never have predicted would make you stop and then turn back. And problems bigger than the sky can shrink so small that you are left there wondering why they used to stop you in your tracks. There's a feather of a kiss that he leaves behind. Brush your fingertips past the corner of your lips. Makes you think of all the things that he does that make you wanna change your mind. Brush away all of this like the feather of a kiss. You can lock away all the little things, freeze out every memory, look away and let them be. Every little tragedy, every little tragedy. Got a ghost of a thorn in the palm of your hand.
That was beautiful. Wow.
Thanks.
Jeez.
It's moody.
It is. It is.
Now I want to listen to it, you know, the recording of it, just to, you know, hear all the different sounds.
Yes. I'll be curious to know what you think about that. Yeah. Also, when I recorded that, it was before I'd written the bridge. So the recording out in the world is not the complete version of the song.
Uh-huh.
And there was something, like, I finished it and we recorded it and then I love it, but I always felt like there was something missing. And so, like 6 months ago, I wrote the bridge. I was like, oh, that's what it needed. So that's how I perform it now.
Oh, nice. Nice. I, I think I chose the right picture for your logo in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know, just because, like...
That's magical.
Right? Yes. That's the vibe.
That's what I'm going for, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Send awesome. That to her.
I will, actually. I'll hook you up with the stock photography. I was like... I have fun doing those because I'll do a lot of research and I'm like... And I'll listen and I'm like, all right. If they don't have like a full blown, you know, logo and picture, I'm like, all right, I'll try to find something that speaks to them. And,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Thanks.
It could be an album cover,
right? Seriously, it's fully licensed. okay, so we talked about quite a bit.
Yeah,
you know, but. You know, I also know that you're a teacher there. So for people that are, you know, really just have already started that journey, the musical journey, but they're just not quite ready to make that leap. Do you have any advice for those people?
I would say there's no time like the present. There's literally, like, there's nothing to stop you. And, you know, I'm fortunate in that I love my day job and that's really rewarding. And also I love doing the music stuff,
but
I feel like, especially in central Massachusetts where, folks are so supportive and welcoming and there's so many opportunities to do workshops and go to open mics and songwriter rounds. The more you get out there and the more you play, the better you get, because every single time you play a song, you're getting feedback about what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I just feel like you just got to go do it.
Yeah. That's great advice. And you know, I think like the way that you've approached it, this the songwriter retreats, the mm-hmm. you know, there's just so many experiences out there that I think will help mold a person. So, guys, if you're listening,
and get out there and do the thing.
Just do it.
Just do it. That's amazing. Well, I want to keep going.
I know.
But thank you so much for
coming
down and doing this. Yes. This is awesome.
Thank you.
And you know, we're trying to break the industry standard. That's kind of like, that's our secret goal. Of course, now it's not a secret anymore. But to like, you know, help a musician out and get their career like super launched. Super launched.
Well, you never know who's listening, you know, like the right set of ears at the right time.
Yeah.
That's 1,000% true.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, what a time to be alive. The fact that, you know, I mean, there's so much access to digital media, social platforms out there that, you know, you don't necessarily need to have a full-blown record label to get discovered. I mean, look at, like, Oliver Anthony out there had that one song recorded on an iPhone. And then next thing you know, it's like 52 million people.
Yeah. And you just have to go out there. And you also have to remind yourself why you're doing it. Because if you're doing it to be famous, that's dumb.
Yeah.
And it really is all about... because none of us, it's so hard to make a living. Like, if you're Taylor Swift, you can make a living, and that's kind of it. So the rest of us are doing it because we love it, and so you better be making it in a way that is giving you joy.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. And that's it's not only good advice for that, but that should be our advice for everything we do in our life.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I've just been absolutely so taken back by your performance here today.
Thanks.
And so grateful that you came into the studio and
I can see why Jukebox Jake Goldstein, when he heard
that
coming in, he was so excited.
So sweet. Yeah. So nice.
He could not stop raving about you and your music. So
I was like,
I see why.
I was bragging. I was like, hey, Juke, guess who we have coming in tomorrow? He's like, who? I'm like, Aaron Ash Sullivan. And he's like, get out.
Yeah. Literally went, get out.
Get out.
He was going to try to stop by and say hello, but he's got his kids today. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, you guys. This has been so much fun. I loved it.
Oh, no, thanks. And then just to let the audience know, again, this we're in the month of May. Do you have any gigs or anything out at that at this point, or...?
I'm trying to think about May.
Yeah.
I think I don't have anything scheduled yet.
Okay. So if you don't have anything scheduled yet, where can people find you to find out?
Go to my website, aaronashsullivan.com/shows. And you can get all the show information there. And I do have some fun shows coming up in the fall, which I'm really excited about. So
folks
can make it out.
Awesome.
And as far as your music goes, it's everywhere, isn't it?
You can find all the music. Lyrics are actually on my website if you want to look at the words.
Yeah.
And all the YouTubes that are out there, lots of performances.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming in. And thank you, listener and or watcher, for tuning in on this episode of the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. And guys, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And make sure you are following and downloading our audio formatted podcast. Nikki, where can they find all of our stuff?
We are on YouTube. We are on all of the streaming platforms. Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora. Find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're all over the place.
We are everywhere. You can't run from us. So thank you, guys. And again, your support means a whole world to not only us, but our guests and our musicians. And thank you for your support in this musical venture that we are all a part of now. And guys, thank you. So with that, we're just going to sign on off.
Bye,
guys.
The Musical Chairs in Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross.
Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.